Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Databook, a Chief Healthcare Executive podcast. My name is Skylar Jeremias, and I'm an assistant editor at CHE. Today, I will be joined by Tom Knight, CEO of Envistix, to discuss the dangers of drug diversion in healthcare institutions and how machine learning technology can help solve this issue and prevent it in the future. We also discussed how the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted the frequency at which drug diversion happens and how that's expected to change as the pandemic eventually comes to an end. So, Tom, it's good to have you here today. Could you just introduce yourself and tell us about your role and what Envistix is all about?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm Tom Knight. I'm the founder and CEO of Envistix. Envistix is a software company that provides inventory visibility and analytics to our customers. And in particular, it helps our customers to monitor medications across their entire complicated supply chains and clinical workflows, and to detect if any of those medications have been stolen or diverted along the way.
Now, there was a survey from Porter Research that found that nearly all healthcare professionals agreed that drug diversion is happening frequently in healthcare facilities nationwide. What exactly is drug diversion, and what are some of the consequences of this practice for patients?
Sure. Yeah, drug diversion is really any crime associated with prescription medications. The most common type of diversion is the theft of those medications by people handling them, like nurses or pharmacists or other medical clinicians. And drug diversion has a lot of victims. Of course, the person who is stealing the medications are often using them themselves, and that can lead to substance use disorder, addiction, and overdose. Sadly, we lose lots of great quality clinicians every year because of the overdose on these medications. But there's other victims as well. The patients that are supposed to receive those medications often go without, which causes a lot of pain. And occasionally, the clinicians that are diverting can injure their patients, either by making a mistake because they're impaired, or they can even infect those patients if they're tampering with the medications. There's other victims as well. A lot of these drugs are being stolen for resale in our communities. These are highly addictive opioids and other medications, and that can lead to substance use disorder and overdoses in our communities. And then, of course, the institutions themselves where these medications are being stolen, they're damaged by this reputationally, as well as they can be liable for huge fines from organizations like the DEA if they fail to prevent these kind of diversions of their drugs.
And how has the COVID-19 pandemic impacted the rate at which drug diversion is happening?
Yeah, COVID has been such a challenge for healthcare organizations around the country. It's consumed resources that would otherwise have been available to prevent the theft of medications. What we've seen during COVID is the diversion of medications has been increasing. The oversight and surveillance to prevent that diversion has been consumed, first with the large load of COVID patients, and more recently with the extra effort required for COVID vaccinations. We are starting to see that trend reverse, thankfully, as more and more of the country has gotten infection rates and hospitalization rates to lower. That's meant that diversion prevention resources have been able to come back and pay attention. The other thing that's been interesting with COVID is we've started to see medications diverted that in the past have not been diverted. For example, the vaccines themselves, particularly in the early weeks when the supply was quite limited, we saw a diversion of those vaccines because so many individuals wanted them. We've also seen diversion of therapeutics for COVID, like remdesivir and other therapeutics. People are stealing them because of the high value of those drugs and because they're in need so by so many patients of COVID. So it's been interesting to see that arc over the year and a half since COVID began in early 2020.
Now, you just mentioned vaccines being taken. What about intravenous medications like biologics and cancer drugs that seem more difficult for people to administer outside of a clinic?
Yeah, a great question. Yes, most people think of diversion of narcotics and other controlled substances, and that does happen a lot. But increasingly, we're also seeing diversion of non-controlled substances like infusion medications to treat cancer, or biologics that are antivirals for issues like hepatitis. These are very, very valuable medications, tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars per dose. And anytime you've got a valuable product, unfortunately, people have an incentive to steal it, often for resale on the black market. So that's a trend we're seeing every year, independent of COVID. More and more medications are being stolen because of their high street value. There was a report just this year of a pharmacy technician in East Orange, New Jersey, that worked at a hospital that had found a way to steal HIV medications, very expensive HIV medications. They would buy them on behalf of the hospital, but then instead of having them available for patients in the hospital, they were taking them out to the parking lot and then selling them to someone who then resold them on the black market. Similarly, in South Florida, there were several hospitals where medications were being stolen and then fenced through shady distributors, being resold in some cases back to the same hospitals. So those are other examples of drug diversion. And each year, as the price of these medications continues to rise, we're just expecting and seeing that more and more diversion is going to happen of these non-controlled substances merely because they're so valuable.
What are some of the issues that healthcare professionals brought up in the survey in regard to the drug diversion programs that are currently in place?
Yeah, there are two big issues that the survey highlighted. The first one is just how dangerous drug diversion is to the quality of care and to patient safety. 94% of respondents said drug diversion negatively impacts the quality of care in their institutions. 96% agreed it has an adverse impact on patient safety. 96% similarly agree that drug diversion jeopardizes compliance and puts their organizations at risk. It's rare you ask a survey question to get more than 90% of people to agree with it. But in this case, 94 to 96% of the people we survey are agreeing drug diversion is impacting quality of care, patient safety, and putting themselves and their organization at risk, which was striking. The second big trend that the survey continues to find is that diversion is happening and it's often going undetected. Here's some statistics. 82% of the people surveyed reported they personally know someone who has diverted drugs. That's quite a large percentage of the population. And then when you go on and ask, well, is diversion happening? Are you detecting it in the organization? This is a shocking statistic. 73% of respondents felt that most diversion goes undetected. That's something we're really trying to publicize, that 73% of people would agree that diversion is happening and it's going undetected in these facilities. When you get into the details of individual cases that are detected, often the person has been stealing medications for many months, sometimes years. And so we're trying to raise the awareness through this survey that this is happening. This is really a risk to our patients and our organizations. And we need to step up and take more active methods to detect and prevent this diversion.
What should the protocol be when drug diversion is detected? What happens to the employees when they get caught doing this?
Yeah, great question. So no matter what you're using to detect diversion, like our software is set up to detect diversion using data hospitals already have, there has to be an investigation after that initial detection that will collect the information, talk to the responsible people and their colleagues, and ask if there's a reasonable explanation or if, in fact, this is diversion. So that investigation typically is done by a group of individuals in the healthcare organization that might include the clinical area involved, like nursing or pharmacy or anesthesia. Typically, will also involve people trained to conduct those investigations. They might be in the compliance group or the HR group or the legal group. If that group, you know, collects the evidence, talks to the people involved, and concludes that diversion occurred, and sometimes the person who is diverting does confess, which is good because that allows us to get that person the help they need, typically to get into some recovery program for their substance use disorder. But if the person doesn't confess, then those investigators have to weigh the evidence of their investigation. And then the typical best practice after that is those investigators present that to an adjudication panel, like a drug diversion oversight council or somebody in the healthcare facility that can look at the evidence been collected and then reach a decision on whether the evidence indicates diversion occurs. And if they do through that adjudication process confirm diversion occurs, then the final step is the reporting that's required of diversion. There's a significant need to report diversion, for example, to state licensure boards, so the person who is found to be diverting can also be investigated from a licensure perspective. And then there can also be reporting required to other organizations like the Food and Drug Administration if tampering was suspected, the local public health organization if patients may have been infected as a result of the diversion, as well as criminal reporting to organizations like the Drug Enforcement Administration or the local law enforcement. So those four steps, detect, investigate, adjudicate, and report, all have to happen to make sure that we're investigating properly and making sure that the initial detection of diversion was in fact confirmed with due process and adjudication.
What should health systems be doing to fix their programs addressing drug diversion and help prevent it from happening?
The biggest thing that organizations can be doing today is improving the systems for detecting diversion. The methods that have been used for decades have not really been very effective, but we're right on the cusp now of being able to use technology to detect diversion better in the future than we have in the past. So the problem with the older technology is it's often detecting diversion that is in fact not an accurate detection, not an accurate alert. They tend to flag clinicians merely because they had to take a lot of medications out last month. And that might just be because they had a lot of patients who were in pain and as a result needed to dispense and administer a lot of those medications. So those reports sadly will often flag somebody merely because they had a patient load that required a lot of pain medications, not because they're diverting. Nearly half of our survey respondents said that when they're investigating drug diversion using those kind of reports, 10% or less of those investigations resulted in a confirmed diversion. So basically the reports are casting suspicion on innocent people that aren't diverting and robbing resources investigating people who aren't diverting. So we call those false positives. The second issue with those reports is it's actually fairly easy if someone is diverting to change their behavior so that they don't appear on those reports. For example, if I'm a nurse and I am diverting hydrocodone tablets, instead of getting a lot of tablets out of one cabinet, which would cause me to show up on next month's report, I might get a little bit of tablets from each cabinet throughout my hospital and spread my use and thefts across multiple locations within the hospital, so I won't show up on any one report. Or I might dispense some 30 milligram hydrocodones and 20 milligram hydrocodones and 5 milligram hydrocodone, and maybe even similar medications like a morphine or a fentanyl. In other words, stealing a little bit of a lot of different drugs is a technique to prevent yourself from appearing on those monthly reports. So that's a issue where the reports are now having false negatives. They're not flagging somebody that would be doing those behaviors. So the biggest thing, back to your question, that hospitals and healthcare systems can do is they can migrate to much more effective technology that's been developed in the last few years. A large grant was awarded by the National Institutes of Health to our company to develop improved technologies, improved software to detect diversion. And the research has shown that we can get much more effective at detecting patterns of diversion. So that when someone is flagged for diversion, instead of only 10% of the time being accurate, we're now approaching 90% of the time that it's something that needs to be investigated. And similarly, by using this technology, you can make things much more efficient. With the older technology, you might only have the time to investigate a small handful of clinicians every month. With the newer technology, it's able to scan huge quantities of data It can look at all of your nurses, all your pharmacists, all your clinicians like anesthesia providers, and very quickly show you in that large haystack of data which clinicians are likely to be diverting and should be investigated. So that's been exciting to work with the NIH on this project and develop this kind of a software that uses machine learning and advanced artificial intelligence. That's now available just in the last 5 years. It's been developed, and it allows you to replace those old and ineffective monthly reports with much more effective and much more efficient alert systems in these softwares.
Now, going back to the pandemic, how can drug diversion programs and the technology you just discussed help address some of the problems we're seeing as a result of the pandemic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mentioned earlier that the pandemic's causing diversion of medications that in the past had not been diverted, like vaccines or therapeutics. So this same technology will work for those COVID-related medications as for the medications that have more traditionally been diverted, like the opioids or the valuable medications. So the good news is, from the computer's perspective, it doesn't matter whether the medication is a controlled substance or a COVID vaccine or a expensive drug. The computer just monitors the movement of that medication from its purchase by the hospital and its arrival into, say, the central pharmacy, all the way through the different departments until it's eventually administered to the patient. And the computer doesn't care what type of medication is. It's equally effective at finding diversion along that path. And that's great, because these kind of COVID therapeutics have never been more valuable. We need to keep them safe. We need to keep them from being stolen, so they're available to treat patients when they're in the hospital.
And you touched on this a little bit, but could you go into more detail about how you expect this technology to evolve over time?
Yeah. One of the exciting things about using machine learning, as we're doing in our software, is the more data you give it on known diversion cases, the better it is at detecting diversion. One of the things that was so exciting for us in the NIH in this research is, by building a national network of hospitals, we have many, many hospitals now around the country that are all using the software every day. And anytime any one of those hospitals detects a new pattern of diversion and they tell the computer that they have found that pattern, well, the computer then learns from that new data, that new method of diversion, and it's now able to recognize that pattern, not only in the original hospital that found it, but in all the hospitals around the country that are using the software. So it learns each time a new pattern of diversion is happening. It's kind of like if one person in one hospital in the corner of the country finds a new and clever way to steal medications, and that pattern is loaded into the software, the machine learning learns that. It will recognize that now throughout the whole country. So because one hospital found that, all the hospitals across the country using this technology just got smarter. Similarly, over time, if the computer is flagging patterns that are not diversion, the hospital will investigate that. The hospital will conclude this was not diversion, might have just been, say, poor clinical practice. They enter that into the computer, and the computer learns from its mistake, so to speak. It learns that that kind of a pattern shouldn't be flagged for diversion, might be flagged for poor clinical practice, but it learns not to flag someone who was, in fact, not diverting. So long story, over time, it improves both its accuracy by finding diversion that would have gone undetected in the past, and it improves its accuracy by not flagging for investigation someone who is, in fact, not diverting.
And lastly, is there anything you'd like to touch on that we haven't discussed already?
Yes. What we're finding is improving technology to detect diversion is just a piece of the solution. You know, as a country, we have to come together to come up with a complete solution to reduce diversion. That's why we've been proud to support a nonprofit that's active in this area called healthcarediversion.org. They're a 501c3 public-private partnership. And we're a member helping with technology to detect diversion. So we're hoping that your listeners and others will come to our website to learn more about diversion, best practices to prevent diversion. And we also have a database that shows known diversion cases around the country, because we find that's a good way to raise awareness There's even a map you can see in my community and my neighborhood, which hospitals or healthcare facilities have diversion reports. So we're hoping to get the word out on the nonprofit so that we can be part of the broader solution, reducing diversion across the country.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Databook. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Chief Health Exec and on LinkedIn and Facebook. Until next time, I'm your host, Skylar Jeremias.